Hey guys, welcome to another fire episode of Taylor Radio. First part of this episode, I'm going to discuss what's going on in Portland, what's going on in Seattle, why the violence, why the fighting. Then, I'm going to talk about the Ben Shapiro, Joe Rogan interview. Lastly, I'm going to talk about the liberal, classical liberal paradigm that we are at risk of having being overthrown. Take a listen. You're not going to want to miss it. Follow me on my website, tstutch.com, Instagram, Facebook, Taylor Radio, YouTube, Taylor Stutch, Twitter, tstutch1. Don't forget to buy my merch. Enjoy. Hello, hello, everybody. It's been a little bit. I know it's been a little while. Let's jump right into it. We shall. So, what I want to discuss in this segment is what we see happening in Portland and Seattle, and how people might wonder how a conservative person, a libertarian-minded individual, somebody who believes in as much autonomy for us as possible, especially communities, where do I stand on the issue of Portland and Seattle? Where they're having these violent protests, riots. We saw Chaz, we saw Chop. Chaz, Chop, whatever the fuck you want to call that. And I've got some ideas, some things to say about that. So, as I'm speaking, there are probably riots going on right now in Portland. And what the riots are doing is, it's what it appears to me is that there is there's a kind of cover-up going on of sorts, or maybe not a cover-up, but a deflection of sorts. What happens is, during the day, during the daylight hours and early evening hours, there are protests. And these protests, I'm not exactly sure what they're aiming for. There's various messages about defunding the police, abolishing the police, things like that, but nothing really concrete, of course, because as we've seen with these protests going on, there's not a lot of concrete, actionable solutions. These are mostly solutions aimed at causing and creating chaos. That being said, with these protests, they start off with people just kind of marching around, walking around, holding up signs, and then they change. So anyone who's been following, if you've been following Tim Pool, if you've been following anybody who is reporting or doing commentary on these, you know that what's happening is, at night, there are large groups of people that start attacking a federal building. So you might ask, well, what federal building are they attacking? They're attacking a federal courthouse. They are attacking a federal courthouse in downtown Portland. And it's not clear why they're doing it. It's really not clear. I don't know why they're doing it. I don't think anyone has mentioned why they're doing it. They're just doing it. And what's happening is they're attacking a federal courthouse, and they started doing this a few weeks ago. After they started attacking the courthouse, then Trump sent out, I believe, some federal marshals, some U.S. marshals, to protect the federal courthouse. After he did that, every time the feds or the police would intervene, then the news media would come out and say, "Ah, look, the feds and the police are attacking innocent protesters." This is what they would say. The feds, the police, they're attacking innocent protesters. And then they would show you videos or pictures of the feds arresting Antifa or whatever. But what they didn't show you was that the feds are staying inside. The feds are staying inside their courthouse, and they're not going out onto the streets until they get bombarded with fireworks and the barricades between the police, the courthouse, and the rioters are torn down. Then the police come out and they disperse the crowd. They usually try to make a couple of arrests. Then they go back inside the courthouse. the courthouse is barricaded up. It's you know, they've got a bunch of things to protect the courthouse. Then Antifa does it again. They get up to the barricade. They throw fireworks and they throw. And when we say fireworks, we're not talking about black cats. When we're talking about fireworks, we're talking about like mortar shells, the stuff that you shoot up into the air and it explodes into a bunch of pieces. They're shooting those at close range at the federal building in Portland. And if you watch what's going on, you see that clearly the feds are not being the aggressors here. They're staying in the courthouse. They're getting attacked. Once the attacks reach a certain line, they come out, they disperse the crowd. The crowd comes back, does the same thing over and over again. We've seen this. We see this happen over and over. And yet, the left-wingers are trying to defend these riots. You know, people, you know, very, very dumb people are actually out there with their kids. Very, very dumb people are defending this action. And if you don't believe me, you can follow a couple accounts online. You can follow Andy Ngo. He's conservative. But then there's another one called Bellcat, I think. Tim Pool talked about him. He's basically a left-wing journalist who's covering the riots. And he's being very honest. He supports the rioters. He supports the burning shit down. He supports the attack on the police. And the thing is what's interesting is the left-wingers, the Antifa people, who are really trying to create chaos and stuff, they are not... They actually have the same understanding of what's happening as conservatives or as people who are, you know, critically thinking about the situation. Because Tim Pool had brought up a couple of examples, like this Bellcat guy, who is a journalist down there, a left-wing journalist. He was proud of the fact that they burned down the police precinct. He was proud of the attacks that they're launching on the courthouse. They're proud of this. They're calling this out. They are proud of the violence because they want the violence. See, the left, see, this is the thing, is that a lot of people in this country don't understand. And it's there's a guy named James Lindsay who is doing a very good job online. He's got a book out. Check him out, James Lindsay. He was discussing how the left has, they have a small core, the SJW crowd, they basically get like a small group of avid supporters of the SJW, the social justice warrior ideology, which is like, you know, everything's bad, everything's racist, and then they get a lot of sympathizers, right? So they might not directly recruit you over to be a social justice warrior, but you'll be a sympathizer. Those are a lot of the people that I know on Facebook. A lot of the people I know on Facebook are not out going to be out in the streets protesting for white people to be put in a gulag. But what they will do is when the crazy left-wingers come out and say all white people are evil, they will just tacitly go along with that. And when I say tacitly go along, I mean they'll say stuff like, you know, white fragility and really it's white, it's systemic oppression. But they're not really going to do a lot, but they're going to kind of support the cause. They're sympathizers. Well, that is what is happening to a lot of people around this country and probably a lot of people in Portland and Seattle, is you have a core group of radical left-wingers who are trying to create a kind of revolution, a kind of civil war, a kind of major hot conflict. And you've got a lot of sympathizers who are being told bad information, like these are peaceful protests, when in reality, if you go and you see the protest, as a couple of these people have noted, even the left-wingers, they are causing violence. They are causing violence. They are being aggressive. They do want to burn down the system. They don't give a shit about the system. And if you listen to them, what they have to say, then you would go, oh, okay, actually, there is a unified message here. There is a unified truth that we can know. And that unified truth is simple. That the left-wingers are trying to tear down the system, and they're trying to disguise it, and the whole time they're trying to disguise it as peaceful protests. That's it. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. The left-wingers, the radical leftists, the SJWs, Antifa, BLM. They're trying to cause chaos, destruction, and they are doing it under the guise of they are being attacked, they are innocent. Honestly, what's interesting is that this is a microcosm, this is a macrocosm, I guess, of what happens in a lot of these cases that BLM stands for. You know, BLM comes out, Black Lives Matter comes out, and says that, you know, they're against the police actions, when in reality, when we go back and we look at these things, it's not as black and white as people try to pretend. You know, George Floyd, I don't think they ever released the footage prior to all the footage about George Floyd being arrested. You know, do we know that he didn't try to resist? Now, should the guy have leaned on his neck for however many minutes? No, I mean, I disagree with that, obviously. But then other people have said that he didn't die of that. He died of other causes. He had other drugs in his system. The other thing about that was, is George Floyd was a criminal. He was a criminal. Go look this stuff up. He was a criminal. He had a record. And so the left wingers will try to convince you that these are actually good and innocent people, that these are not criminals, these are not bad people, they're good and innocent. And then what they do is they say, look, these cops are attacking good, decent, innocent people and hurting them. And in reality, that's not what's happening. In reality, I'll tell you what's happening. What's going on is you have criminals, a lot of times, oftentimes you have criminals and bad actors doing bad things. And then the police get involved, and sometimes they go overboard and they do act brutally. Sometimes they don't. And what we're seeing is only a half-truth. Kind of like we learned that the hands-up-don't-shoot narrative was all fake. And when everyone was going after Zimmerman, that guy in Florida, when he was being attacked and retaliated by shooting the guy, right? And everyone said, oh, it's white on black crime, and he's hunting black people. And it's like, no, no, he was attacked, he defended himself. That's what we're seeing happen right now in Portland. We're seeing people that are not innocent. We're seeing fundamentally these are bad people with a bad motive. These are not well-intentioned people. These are people that want to create chaos, that want people to die. They want people to be injured. They want people to starve in breadlines. That's what these people are. They are causing issues. They are causing problems. And when they are being, when people are defending themselves against their actions, then they are being touted as victims. That's how the media is doing this. Now, back to my original point about what do I think about this. I do not believe that the federal government has the right to just do whatever they want in, you know, to individuals and to state and local authority. I don't believe that. And so if the federal government was taking over Portland, yeah, I'd have a problem with that. But they're not. The federal government has agents that are trying to defend a federal courthouse. That is it. This is what I'm saying. This is critical thinking. See, some people will go, oh, well, you know, oh, you're against, you know, I've seen this. People are talking about this online. Oh, well, how can conservatives, you know, they say one thing and then now they are defending the federal troops attacking protesters. No one's defending federal troops attacking protesters. There are no federal troops and they're not attacking protesters. There are federal law enforcement that are protecting a courthouse. And if you watch the videos of what's going on, you see what they're doing. They are staying inside the courthouse all night until the rioters or the revolutionaries, they're waiting until the revolutionaries breach the fence. When the revolutionaries break through the barricade, then they turn around and they come out and they disperse people and they make arrests and that's it. That's it. Sometimes they get out into the streets to push people back further. I've seen videos where they're hitting some people with batons and stuff. I don't care. I don't mind. When you see what the rioters are doing, yeah, it's perfectly within reason. Perfectly within reason to take a couple people down, make some arrests, while these people are trying to burn down the building that you're in. This is really fundamentally about aggression. Who is being the aggressor? You know, because what we need, what somebody like me wants to see and many others, is, you know, abide by the non-aggression principle. The non-aggression principle is like the silver rule, according to Nassim Taleb. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. And that's the only rule. The rule isn't the gold. See, the golden rule is actually, I really like this a little aside from Nassim Taleb. The golden rule is not really what you want. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Well, because if somebody has some sick sensibilities, you can quickly turn that into, well, I like it when people beat the shit out of me, so I'm going to beat the shit out of them. I like to fight, so how about I go and fight other people? You see what I'm saying? If you believe in the goal, if you just go by the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, well, then you can, well, I mean, you know, if I take money from this guy, I don't really mind because if I had some extra money and somebody stole it from me and they were in dire straits, I wouldn't mind either. Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying is that if you don't mind a lot of things being done to you, then you can do a lot of things to other people. But the silver rule is simple. The non-aggression rule is simple. Don't be the aggressor. Don't do the thing. That's it. That's it. Don't do the thing. Silver rule, don't do unto others what you don't want them to do to you. So, you don't want to get punched? Don't punch. But it doesn't say you can punch if you like to get punched. That's it. It's just if you don't want something to happen to you, you can't do that to somebody else. But it doesn't say what you can do to anybody else. There's no I can do this. It's just you can't do things. Following that kind of logic, I don't mind what the federal government is doing here. The federal government isn't marching down the streets, trying to take over the streets. They're not trying to cause trouble. They're simply trying to defend federal property. That's it. That's it. No issues. That's my stance. Any non-retard can figure that one out. So this next thing I want to talk about is a conversation. It has to do with a conversation between Ben Shapiro and Joe Rogan. So Ben Shapiro came on Joe Rogan again, and it was a good podcast. It was a good podcast. It's very interesting to see someone like Joe Rogan come on Ben Shapiro, It's very interesting to have someone like Ben Shapiro come on Joe Rogan's because they are. It's interesting to see the. It's really interesting for me to see the evolution of Joe Rogan. Now, Joe Rogan is definitely not a conservative. He's a very much a classical liberal. There's some things that I think he gets wrong, but that's all right. We all get some shit wrong. And I'm sure many people think the same about me. So, no problem. But something that they talked about was they talked about the current environment, the one that we are currently living in, the one that we all know is a little bit crazy right now. And, you know, Joe and Ben were talking about the problems in the black community. How do you fix those problems, right? Like, how do you fix the issues? How do you get so that black people are, you know, they were talking about systemic racism and the black community, right? And Ben Shapiro made some really good points, very, very good points. He said, look, here's the situation. Yes, there were things that were done in the past. There were things that were done in the past that were obviously bad, obviously immoral, that reach into the future, right? There are decisions in the past that have consequences into the future. We know that. We see that. The problem is that the current laws on the books, the current situation we're in now is not that. And what he means, what he said by that is that the laws on the books now are not racist, right? Affirmative action is not racist against black people. The laws that we have to prevent racism and discrimination are not rules trying to make people slaves and trying to segregate people. It's the opposite. And that is the current situation we're in, is that we have situations where people in certain communities have a problem getting out of those communities, right? So poor black people that are in, you know, ghettos and really bad parts of towns and cities and neighborhoods, those people get caught up in a system, or not a system, but a situation where they are surrounded by many other people doing the same thing, right? They're surrounded by many other people doing drugs, committing crimes to survive, you know, just getting in trouble with, you know, with other people and doing bad things. Like, those are the people they're around. And Rogan was talking about, well, how do we get past this? How can we help this community, or how can we, you know, truly move the ball forward, right? Because, you know, Ben made some very good points against the systemic racist argument, which is, like I said earlier, the current system, the system is not set up in a racist manner, right? Just because something has happened in the past and there are repercussions of that coming forward, you can't then therefore say, oh, we have to tear down the whole system because there are consequences from decisions people made years ago. Because the system as it stands now is not a racist system. Though there may be some racist people in it. And when they were talking about it, you know, Rogan talked about this kind of amorphous, well, education, if we could just show them education, this, that, and the other. And one thing that that Ben Shapiro and Joe Rogan had an interesting clash on, conflict, was individual responsibility. And I thought this was a very interesting conversation because Ben said, look, the only actual solution to this, the only fundamental solution to, you know, high rates of crime or high rates of drug abuse or high rates of murder in the black community is people individually have to make a decision that they're not going to participate in this. Now, Rogan had a really good counterpoint, which was, look, that's a simplistic idea. That because it's not easy to do that. He made a really good point. He said, look, dude, when you're surrounded by this, it is not easy to make that change. And I'm going to agree. Now, I haven't had this experience, right? I didn't grow up in a majority minority neighborhood with lots of crime and violence. But I have heard lots and lots of stories of how when black kids would be focused on getting good grades, or when they would try to do something good, they would get kind of ganged up on by their peers who didn't want them to do those things and attack them for trying to better themselves. I've heard several black leaders, actually, I think people like Larry Elder and others, come out and say this, that one of the problems in the black community is that when somebody does try to come out of the situation, when someone tries to get above the system, or not the system, when someone tries to get above the prevailing thoughts in those areas of like crime and stuff like that, they are criticized for not being part of the community, and they're attacked. And so with those kind of things in mind, not only do you not have good role models, but you're probably actively discouraged from doing some of the right things. It's difficult. It could be very difficult, and it could actually lead to your death, right? If people think that you're maybe some kind of sellout or race traitor, they might just kill you. So I understand what Rogan is saying, and I think that makes sense, and I think that's a valid point. Here's what I would say, though, in response to that, and this is what Ben Shapiro was saying, and I agree with this. Fundamentally, there's no other way. There is no other way. At some point, fundamentally at some point, it comes down to an individual's decision to participate or not participate. And that's with everything. That really is with everything. And because the situation going on in these neighborhoods, look, nobody knows what to do about this exactly. Nobody knows exactly what to do, what would be the exact right decision. But I can say that I can see the argument that people say, look, I mean, you're born into these areas And the crime and stuff just continues and continues because this is all you see. You're discouraged from doing the right thing. You're encouraged to do the wrong thing. Look, I can see how that's a problem. But at the end of the day, it's going to only take individuals and families are the only units that can outgrow that system. And Shapiro made a really good point about families, how he brought up the idea of, this is something Thomas Sowell has brought up as well, single motherhood rates in the black community are very high, like 70% or something, 70 or more percent. And how that's, not having a father and a mother is one of the biggest problems with crime or with just degenerate behavior. And how this is also growing in the white community. How he was saying, look, this is not just a race thing. Like, this is happening in the white community too now. And I thought that was extremely interesting. Because it just goes with his point, what he was saying about, individuals, is that, like, we have created as a culture, we have this way of being where it's okay. We excuse this kind of behavior, and this is kind of where it gets us. You know, when we don't uphold kind of some kind of standard about people getting married and having kids, then you get to a point where you just, people are running around having kids out of wedlock. And, the kids are really getting the brunt of this. So it's not a good situation. So I thought that was a really good point. And lastly, what I wanted to talk about was the paradigm shift that we're seeing. So the paradigm shift that we're seeing is, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out on the left, Democrats are trying to figure out what's going on with the situation in Portland, and they're trying to figure out what's going on with cancel culture. So first off, I want to say that I think a lot of Democrats are responsible for what's going on in the cancel culture. There's a lot of progressives, a lot of traditional Democrats and things who have been complicit in the actions taken by the radical left for a long time. And people like Barry Weiss and other Democrats have been okay with conservatives being canceled. They've been okay with a lot of the left-wing agenda for a long time. And has now paved the way. A lot of the Democratic progressives have now paved the way for the radical left-wingers to cancel everybody with who they disagree with. Now, something that Tim Pool discussed that I've been thinking about for a while, and listening to him kind of helped me bring it around to a full thing, was the idea that we are people like me, people like other Democrats have been in a liberal, we've been in a classical liberal paradigm. Republicans, most Republicans and Democrats, and the average American lives in a classical liberal paradigm. That paradigm is essentially things like, you believe in civil liberties, you believe in things like, I said, civil liberties, freedom of speech, right to self-protection, but you also, there's a critical thing here, you believe in debate and discussion. So in the classical liberal paradigm, when you disagree with somebody, you have a discussion, you have a debate, you get out there and you discuss the ideas. That's kind of the classical liberal paradigm that we've all existed in for a while. What the radical left-wingers have done, what the radical left, what Antifa has done, and others, especially with cancel culture, is they are outside of the classical liberal paradigm. And this is what I think a lot of Democrats have trouble identifying. And I think they had trouble identifying it now at their own peril, is the radical left-wingers have destroyed discussion, because when somebody says something they don't like, there's no discussion. they just attack you. They just try to end your ability to make a living. So now the liberal paradigm is being threatened. The classical liberal paradigm, which includes Republicans and Democrats, is being threatened to be overthrown. And it's being threatened to be overthrown from the left. This is critical, a critical thing to understand. The classical paradigm of all of most of your beliefs and most of my beliefs, depending on if you're in America or not or other parts of the world, that paradigm of, okay, you have the right to say what you want, you know, you have the right to defend yourself and your family, you have the right to privacy from undue searches and seizures, you have the right to vote, you have the right to protect your property, things like that. These kind of ideas are in a classical liberal paradigm. Okay, these are in a classical liberal paradigm with some kind of representative democracy, right? You don't have total democracy, but you have a type of representative democracy. There are rules and laws. People have civil rights. These are classical liberal ideas. The people that are fundamentally at odds with these ideas are the leftists. The leftists are the existential threat to this. Because they are trying to say, if you say something that we do not agree with, you must go away. If you say something that we do not agree with, you must disappear. This is what they believe. This is the radical leftist philosophy. This is their ideology. They are antithetical to classical liberal thinking. They do not want you to be able to defend yourself. They do not want you to be able to say what you feel or say what you must, which is interesting because these people, and this is a tricky thing, the radical leftists use the tools of classical liberals to destroy classical liberals, right? And this is why you, I believe Nassim Taleb had something to say about this, but in a society, you can only have tolerance to those who, you can only have a certain amount of tolerance for what people are saying or doing, right? So for example, as a classical liberal, you can say whatever you want, right? Here's the thing though. You can't say whatever you want, but then at the same time try to actively overthrow that system, right? That's one thing you can't do. You can't come in and say, hey, look, you know, we want you to come into the, it's kind of like with immigration or with anything. You can't come into the country and then try to destroy the country. That's not allowed, right? So you can have your free speech. The only problem is you can't use that free speech to overthrow the very system that allows the free speech to propagate. Now, I know you might say, well, that's contradictory, that's, you know, hypocritical. It's really not. We live in a paradigm. And within that paradigm is where we're allowed to have the speech, right? Like I have freedom of speech, but I can't say, everybody come over to my house so we can attack my neighbor. We're going to kill my neighbor, right? You can't do that. Okay. Just like you can't say, oh, I've got freedom of speech. So let's go out, let's get together and let's kill the governor, right? Let's get together. Let's start a revolution, right? Because what happens is what when we allow the radical leftists have been allowed to essentially get together and say, ah, we are going to use freedom of speech to end freedom of speech. This is what they're doing. This is what the radical left is doing. And this is what people that are conservatives and everything need to understand is that we're not playing the same game. This is one thing I try to tell people. Is we're not playing the same game. This is what I tell people on the internet. This is why I think that the right should cancel people just as much as the left. People that are classical liberals, not just conservatives, classical liberals should be engaging in hardcore cancel culture against every radical leftist. Because if they don't, they will lose. Because this is a fight to maintain the paradigm. It's kind of like in a war, how in a war, in the United States and other countries, sometimes in a war, you'll suspend certain things about civil liberties and civil rights to preserve the union, to preserve the country or the community. Then once you back out of that conflict, then you go back to the way things were, right? Now, in the way I see it right now, is people that are classical liberals, that includes classical Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody. We are at war with people that want to end your ability to dissent. And if that means you have to use their weapons against them, then so be it. If we have to cancel radical leftists, if we have to cancel people like the, you know, on Twitter and the New York Times, in order to maintain our ability to work and say our opinions at the same time, then that's something that we should do. I am in full agreement with that. And that's the situation we're in. This is the paradigm. It's classical liberalism, which encompasses everything, right? The Democrats have hijacked the term liberal for themselves, and we use it derogatorily in the United States. But classical liberal just means it's somebody who believes in Enlightenment values, somebody who believes generally who has followed the traditional Judeo-Christian ethics and morals. And when I say follow, that doesn't mean you're religious, but you just kind of follow those codes. Somebody who believes in civil liberties, representative government, these kinds of things. The people who are outside of this paradigm are leftists. They are socialists. They're communists. They're Marxists. They're people that want to overthrow the system and rule the system themselves. They don't want civil liberties. They don't want representative democracy. They don't want a prevailing ethic. They just want everything to be destroyed. This is who we're fighting. This is who we're fighting. So keep up the good fight. As normal, you can follow me on my website, tstutch.com, YouTube, Taylor space Stutch, Facebook, Instagram, Taylor Radio. Support my store. And I'll talk to you guys next time.